What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
LeBron James and Kevin Durant, you're still in the show amongst your contemporaries. To not play for something significant right now and to say that, hey, we're not a championship team, but we don't want to mortgage. I just wonder how much that pains Steph to even have to talk about, to have to even discuss at this stage of his career. And that jump off, that may be tough. It may be like a player who was in his prime averaging 27 points a game, and then all of a sudden, the next year they're averaging 16. It's like, what happened to my powers? I can't blow by anybody. I can't rise up for a jump shot. I lost my athleticism. Now you're talking about a team that is used to competing for championships, and you're struggling just to be in the box. For a guy like Steph, I think we underrate how dramatic of a drop-off that could be for a player who's played at the height of his powers in the biggest games in this league.
Yes, but it's also not unique to him. Other superstars, outside of like Magic just kind of walking away.
No, it's
away,
not unique to him, not at all.
You know, but like they all have to kind of face that at one point. I think LeBron's kind of going through it too, wouldn't you think? Like his contemporary?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Kevin Durant as well.
Kobe went through it. Right? Kobe, like those last couple of years, and I think it was way more dire with Kobe. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm misremembering the end of the Laker thing.
No, the Kobe years were rough.
Weren't they?
Rough.
I thought so too. This is not exclusive to him, but what I will say is that, boy, it feels like he's got more left in the tank than the other people that we're referencing who were, fading mm-hmm. to where they were, whether it's modern medicine, his own workout regimen, the rest of the Golden State Warrior roster and how lucky they've been to kind of sustain what they've had, the ownership reinvesting into the team financially over the last couple of years. There's a lot of reasons why, but it's interesting that like, he's one of the few superstars that doesn't feel completely consumed with it, though, in the sense of it's dragging down his mentals. I know he's frustrated, but it's not like you're seeing this huge drop-off in his own happiness. He's still smiling.
Right.
He's still doing the fun stuff that we see. I don't know. I do think he's in a tough spot.
He's in a tough spot. I'm just thinking about him individually, that drop-off of, boy, we're battling tooth and nail with the Toronto Raptors. Just a couple years ago, we're playing the Boston Celtics on a parquet floor for an NBA championship. And now we're trying to figure out our way. Now, in case you missed it, I'm sure everybody played it. Here's what Steph Curry said at the game Wednesday night. When it came to all the fake trade proposals online, Steph Curry had a message for everybody on social media.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Now, later on that night, Steve Kerr was asked about the big picture conversation. Here's what Kerr had to say.
We didn't talk about it as a team. We're used to, you know, being in the spotlight. If there's a story about our team, it's going to go everywhere, and everyone's going to talk about it. And I hope there's not a misconception that we're not fighting and scrapping and hoping, you know, that we can, you know, do everything possible to keep this thing going, because that's what we're doing. But it almost feels like the narrative became, the Warriors are giving in. We're not giving in. We're just not going to give away the future. And that's the two totally different things. So we're fighting. You can see we've been competitive all year. We've had a few blowouts. But for the most part, our guys are competing like crazy. They play so hard every night. Just really nice to see them get rewarded, because it's a great group of guys.
So, Vontae, it's interesting that we're talking about like where Steph's at in his career, where the team is, where the organization is, seeing the new CBA rules. One area, which I'm going to say this out loud, and everyone's going to be triggered, and I don't want you to be. Just everyone take a deep breath. It's just an opinion. It's not mine. It's one of my buddies. He has this opinion. He goes, hey, look, I'm not going to feel that bad for Steph. We are in a salary cap league, right? And it's very difficult, clearly, right now to maneuver. And when you're at certain spots in your career, you've earned the amount of money that you've gotten. But once you get to the end, and you've career earned more than $410 million, and you have unbelievable money being made off the floor, it's hard for me to feel bad about your lot in life in the NBA when you took a $60 million extension. Now, I'm not saying that that's how I feel, but I do understand the point of saying, Steph, if you want to make it easier for yourself and really add to your legacy, maybe you take $30 million off. Now, it sounds absurd. Again, this is just one person's opinion who texts me all the time about this. Is like, hey, you want to make it easier for the team to build around you? You want to win another one? You want me to feel more empathy for you? What if you cut your salary in half? Now, I'm sure the players union wouldn't want Steph Curry doing that, and Steph's own ego probably wouldn't want to do that. It's an absurd thing to say out loud, but it's something no one ever brings up, and I'm just throwing it out there.
So you think it should take a pay cut?
I think there's a happy medium in here where it's like, let's not act like he's not being compensated, right, on one level, and that the organization, because they're compensating him where he's at, it does make it a little more difficult, which is, this is not exclusive to him. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just signed a big extension. It's on OKC to build around him. But it does make it more difficult. It does, to build around you, well, given those CBA, parameters.
The new CBA, and when we think about the salary cap in the NFL,
but he's earned the money.
The CBA in the NBA, the NFL, the salary cap was implemented, well, 93, I want to say, 92, 93, 94, around that time. And it was known as the unofficial 49ers rule, the Eddie DeBartolo rule, because he would just spend money left and right on signing players. That's new CBA. It's pretty ironic that a Bay Area team, basically the CBA, is the new Warriors rule. It's the Warriors rule because of the way they spent money on the luxury tax and said, we don't care. We're going to pay for what we pay for. We'll pay the tax. We'll suffer the consequences. But we're going to spend money because we want to reinvest in our product on the court. So everybody got caught with their pants down with the new CBA. We didn't think it was going to be this complicated in terms of maneuvering. And, you know, when you think about the league and Adam Silver's talking about this, maneuvering and making deals now has become extremely difficult in the NBA. So when it comes to Steph Curry, this money, I don't look at it like that because I say this guy's worth every penny for what he's done for this organization and what he's doing for your organization moving forward. And the seats are getting filled out because of number 30. So I'll never, you know, think about, hey, you need to make a pay cut. I don't think he has to make a pay cut. The Warriors just have to draft better around them and develop better around them. And maybe some bad investments here and there has hurt this team and put them in the position they're in right now. But when it comes to pay cuts or whatnot, I don't get into that because Steph Curry's worth every single dime.
He's worth more. I mean, if he was getting paid $120 million in terms of like what he brings to the organization financially, the value, the Q rating, all that stuff, there's no doubt he is worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year, right? Like if he was on the open market and this was the LIV Golf or whatever, imagine what he'd be getting. I'm just saying in the CBA world, there is the other side of the argument where take a little off. And I'm not saying that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, no, we got it.
But why is that an absurd thing to throw out there?
But casual fans have to stop asking these players to take pay cuts when we wouldn't take pay cuts at our jobs.
So let me ask you this then. Because they actually, as you get older, they do. Like, you get older in your job, and they do ask you to take a click down depending on what type
upset.
Of profession you're in.
People get upset, and they walk. They're like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
That's certainly their point of view. Is he a max player for the rest of his career?
He's worth the max on this team and this organization, right?
Yes, but let's say...
For what he brings on and off the floor?
Well, we've discussed that.
Because that's baked into it.
I agree, but you would also acknowledge that, like, paying, let's just say, half of your salary cap, which is what $60 million is, to one guy at 40 years old, it does make it hard. I mean, both can be true. He's worth it, and it makes it difficult. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying there are fans out there that don't have a lot of empathy. If you're going to take the full amount of money, also understand how difficult it is to field the team around you.
Well, that's where we're at then. So what do you do? Steph Curry ain't taking no pay cut. That's for sure. We're not asking these players, LeBron James, to take a pay cut. You may leave a couple million off the top here and there, but the cap is going to go up in the NBA. The cap is not going to stick here at the spot. The cap will go up with the new television deal, and so more money will be freed up. There's a point where we may see an $80 million a year player in this league.
I think $100 million's coming.
That could be coming. So Stephen Curry worth 60? Yeah, just by him being Stephen Curry, I think is worth 60. That's a guy where he's just like, you know what? His prowess before the game, his pregame routine before the game, which brings fans into the arenas early. They've had to shift the time of when they open the gates because of a guy like Stephen Curry. Yeah, I think he's worth every dime, and we got to figure out a way around Stephen Curry at his $60 million. But the league's going to go up, so I don't know. Some people believe that not one player is worth $60 million. I would fight to the death and say that that guy on this organization in this market is worth every single penny.
No one, everyone thinks he's worth it. I think the bigger question is, all right, you've made $500 million in your career. Can you take a little off and then go for legacy?
We're pocket watching again, man.
Well, that's the CBA. I mean, that's where we're at in the league.
We got pocket watching, but we keep saying, yeah, you made, all right, we'll break, sorry. More coming up. Shameless shout-outs. Chill and all buddy. Brought to you by Chill and all buddy.
Jonathan Kamingo. Let's throw Guy Sanchez in there. Jonathan Kamingo.
Adonavi.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout-outs at 7:45. Line them up. Shout-out whoever you want to shout-out. You want to shout-out Chase Center for hosting the Bruce Mahoney and Lick Wimmerding in University yesterday. Go ahead and do that. Shout-out to your local pet store, your local grocery store. Shout-out to your restaurant that you love. Shout-out to anybody, your lovely wife, your kids. That's coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout-outs. By the way, 95-70 Game Knockout Tournament is back. The second annual 95-70 Game Knockout Tournament. Win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center. The throne reigning champ, Mark Grandy, and the contest to qualify will start on Monday, January 27th, and go for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. So you'll have plenty of chances to win. That is 2 weeks from today. Listening to 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 4 p.m. hours starting Monday, January 27th for your chance to win. And each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. You have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. All right, that's coming up January 27th, the knockout tournament. But Lubman, I want you to reiterate that question you had about Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, the question was simply, you know, have you ever felt as good about Jonathan Kuminga as we once did about Jordan Poole when he was here at the Warriors? Because, I mean, he had some incredible times. I mean, I think one of the best you could have ever felt about him was that first-round series against Denver when Steph was coming off the bench after the injury, and he was such an integral part of that, you know, series win. It was a five-game series win, right? It was just, yeah, how could you not feel super high about Jordan Poole and the Warriors' future with Jordan Poole after that run? Like, have you ever felt that high with Jonathan Kuminga at any point?
That's a great question.
For me, I think it's just the Kuminga experience falls well short of the Jordan Poole experience in terms of how I felt at the highest of highs. Not that I ever thought he was going to be some Hall of Famer, because the other three, Draymond, Clay, Steph, they're all Hall of Famers, right? But boy, it felt like he was like the next one up, right? Like at some point he would take the mantle, and at minimum, he was going to be like the fountain of youth to sustain their run, or at least let it go a little longer. Right. And the runway would go, I don't know, a couple of years farther than it did. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they win the championship, the last one, without him. I think that's pretty clear. I think it's pretty obvious. And I thought that if they were ever going to win a fifth, he would have been a big part of that too. Maybe even at one of the starring roles.
Yeah. I just think he's had a lot more runway than Kuminga ever had. Jordan Poole started a lot of games. He played a lot of minutes. He handled the ball a lot. We're learning about Kuminga. Now, we've gotten glimpses, right? We've gotten sample sizes. Last season, we saw from January to the end of the year, Kuminga could be a really good player. But I don't think he was ever empowered the way Jordan Poole was within this offense, where Jordan Poole was tasked with running a half-court offense, bringing the ball up the floor, creating for others, running a patented split action, taking jumpers. He's taking over 17, 18 shots a game. He's scoring. The ball is in his hands, and he's getting to the free throw line. And we forget that Jordan Poole had beat out Stephen Curry as the best free throw shooter that season. He had a higher percentage than Stephen Curry from the free throw line. So Jordan Poole, yeah, I think the answer is, in my opinion, is that everybody felt better about Jordan Poole at his high watermark than we ever have about Jonathan Kuminga.
I mean, you bring up how, you know, the Warriors empowered him early on, Bonte. Is that, you know, mainly just a product of the fact of the situation that Jordan Poole walked into when he did arrive here? I mean, he came in during that lost season where everyone was injured. You know, the season after that, it was, you know, the play-in year was, the expectations were kind of so-so. Like,
and he went down to the G League.
Yeah.
He had to go down to the G League. People forget, he bounced up and down from the G League. His rookie year, going into those games, Jordan Poole was not an NBA player.
We did the postgame shows, me, Covey, and Bonte. The amount of calls we would take where it was like, he's positionless, he doesn't know what he's doing. Shot selection, I think, was the like, that was like the buzzword everyone would call. Remember? Kai Bowman was beating him off the floor.
I was going to those games, dude, and he was shooting like in the 20s from the three-point line. It was atrocious. It was a bad basketball. Huh?
What was he shooting?
He was like shooting 20. Like, you look at his splits his rookie year, he was shooting like 20%. But he went down to the G League, and he got a little better before the season ended. I remember looking at it and saying, okay, he's getting a little bit better, getting a little bit better. And then the next season, he gets off to another rough start. He goes out to the G League bubble in Orlando, and he comes back right before the All-Star game in a game against the Phoenix Suns on the road. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, Jordan Poole looks all right. He scored double figures. He started pushing the ball up the floor. And then the rest is history. By the end of the play-in game against Memphis at Chase Center, he was the one taking shots at the end of the game. The Lakers game when they lost at Crypto.com Arena. It was Jordan Poole in the corner. It was Jordan Poole in the corner who took that three under a minute left and had a great look. But he had the cojones to take that shot. I thought, oh, this guy, okay, he's not afraid of the moment.
And remember in that game, Bonte, he tried to dunk on LeBron. Yes. They didn't get the, I think he got the foul call there, but he almost dunked on LeBron. That was like, wow, okay, he's here
for this. His confidence, his confidence was ascending. He was starting to become a confident young player.
Yeah, he ripped those corner threes. That Memphis game, now that you bring it up, they threw the kitchen sink at Ja defensively. They tried everything. He destroyed them.
No doubt. No doubt he
did. And Grayson Allen.
No doubt he did.
That's right, Grayson Allen.
But that, that year, though, helped Jordan Poole because
he did have a point.
You think about the pandemic and the officials with the Golden State Warriors, they were saying Jordan Poole will not leave the gym. Jordan Poole is living in the gym. So he dedicated himself to the game. And J.K. does the same thing. J.K. works on his craft all the time. You got to lock him out the gym. Same thing with Jordan Poole. He was in that gym. He slept in that gym. He wanted to get his game right, and he helped you win a championship. And I remember just when they did win the championship, Jordan Poole looking at Stephen Curry, asking him how to pop a champagne bottle. How do I do this? And Steph, the wily veteran that he is, in the midst of a celebration, is like, hold on, this is what you do. You wrap it up like this. You put it like this, and then pop, boom. And then, as you know, you got a champagne shower again in the Boston locker room at TD Garden. And so it is kind of sad how we forget all that. We forget the pool parties. But to Lubman's question, I think everybody felt a lot better about Poole at the height of his powers than we ever have about Jonathan Kuminga. And that's not an indictment on Jonathan Kuminga. It's just the fact that we saw a lot more of Jordan Poole early on, and we saw that he could become a 20-point-per-game scorer in this league. We're still trying to figure out who Jonathan Kuminga is. I think I know who he is. I think he's a damn good player. But for whatever reason, he hasn't gotten the consistent minutes that Jordan Poole did receive in his years with the Golden State Warriors.
I also think about what the, what does the eyeball see, right? And I think defense, block shots at the rim, you can see, right? But most defense, you can't tell when a guy gets into a passing lane and a guy doesn't get the ball thrown to him because of great anticipation as a defensive player, or point of attack defense and communication and switching and help defense and all the little subtleties. Defense is hard to quantify. So offense is much more palpable to the eyeball, and it garners way more buzz online. Wouldn't you agree? Like, shaking a guy out on the perimeter is going to get millions of views,
right?
Whereas hedging on a screen is not. And so I think the things that Jordan Poole did as well, it was at a higher clip in terms of the offense, but it was also more intoxicating from just the basic fan point of view. You know, when you score and you're shooting from the perimeter and you're crossing people over and you're, you know, daggering threes before the end of quarters and stuff like that, those things are really exciting.
No doubt. They are.
Defense isn't as exciting for the common fan.
But defense is needed, right?
No question.
You need point of attack defense, which destroyed the Warriors the past couple seasons.
But Kuminga plays good defense at times.
Right.
And I think that it gets undervalued and underappreciated.
No doubt. They want to see dunks. They want to see scores. They want to see shots. 888-957-9570 is the number. Shameless shout-outs coming up at 745. Shameless shout-outs at 745. You can shout-out the Odyssey Holiday Party. The Odyssey Holiday Party, which happened a couple weeks after the holidays. But we still got it in.
It's called the hangover party because, you know, it's the hangover from the holiday.
It's the hangover from the holiday.
Clever.
Food was good.
Maybe you should shout-out Jonathan Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Let's throw Guy Sanchez in there.
Hey, Guy Sanchez plays some good basketball right now, man. Even Steve Kerr, you said he's a big part of everything right now.
Guy's energy right from the start. You know, would we go up 12-0 or 11-0 or something? Yeah, he's just a big part of all that. The defense, the switching, the rebounding, the ball movement. He just makes really good basketball plays. He has a good understanding of the game, and that makes other people better.
Makes other people better. As Jordan Poole will come to town tomorrow night, Guy Sanchez will get a lot more run, no doubt. But I'm looking at this text, and 510's right. Jordan Poole filled seats. He was electric. Brought the second most excitement to the team. Chase Center loved him. Chase Center did love him.
Chase Center did love him.
The pool parties were, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was wearing sunscreen. We were doing pool parties on a set. NBC Sports Bay Area is like, wow, Jordan Poole can't get enough of him.
I used to come in the very next day and talk to you in the morning, and I'd be like, dude, the guy is intoxicating on television. He makes very few players in the league make you lean forward and like, oh, my God, where's this going? He was one of those guys.
He was such a likable kid, too. I love the kid.
He had a great smile.
He had some, you know, if you want to say, hey, there's a lot of egos, well, guess what? There's always a lot of egos in an NFL locker room, NBA locker room. And a baseball clubhouse.
I'll take you to any job site in America, and I'll show you a bunch of egos.
Bunch of egos. So,
what are we talking about?
The fact is, well, you know, you brought up the crossover, Willard Dibbs and Grady, and I wasn't aware of it.
A lot of people feel that way.
But they were saying, oh, you had to move on because of the egos. Well, there's always egos.
Of course.
And so you don't think there was egos in this? Kevin Durant walked into this building, and Clay said, I'm not sacrificing bleep for KD. I'm getting my shots up. And you know what? Clay led the team in shots per game that season. You know, so egos come into play. It's pro sports. Money's on the line. Of course there's egos.
Well, I always think about management in any profession. Like, I came from the world of sales, and managing the egos is more treacherous of the job when you're a sales manager than managing their balance sheet or their profit margin sheet or anything like that. Like, no, it's the egos and everyone, you know, running into each other in terms of who's the greatest. It happens everywhere you go. Trust me, my little brother's a plumber. The stories I've heard on job sites, the egos of the electricians versus the plumbers, the carpenters versus, you know, the sheetrockers or whatever.
Everywhere.
Like, it's all over the place.
All over the place. Egos are everywhere.
So imagine what it is when hundreds of millions of dollars are on the line.
Right.
And playing time's on the line.
Exactly.
And shot selection's on the line.
And that's not the reason why he was traded. It's not the reason why he was traded. 888-957-9570. Shameless shout-outs coming up. Plus, we'll get to divisional round football. You know what? Let's do that right now. Because you brought up verse, how he said Philadelphia Eagle fans, he can't stand them. He hates the green and white. But that game's on Sunday. Tomorrow, you get the Chiefs and the Texans. And you get the Lions and the Commanders.
Nobody's giving the Texans a chance, right?
Nobody. Nobody.
To cover the points, maybe, but not to win.
What's the spread?
8.5. It's a lot.
This would be the signature win of D'Amico and C.J. Stroud if they were to pull this off. America would win.
Is the Chiefs three-peat being underreported?
I just think we're exhausted with them. This is what happens. You become the glamorous team. Everybody likes you. Then we get tired real quick.
Well, they haven't played for anything in like a month. That's probably why. They haven't been in the public eye.
So everybody's hyping up the Buffalo and Baltimore game, deservedly so. This is a fascinating matchup. The Eagles and Rams game is, I'm intrigued with it now with the 12-noon kickoff on Sunday and all the trash talk coming from Verse about the fan base. I'm intrigued with Jaden Daniels going to Detroit in that dome, Ford Field. Going up against the Lions, who are the number one seed in the NFC. When is the last time they've been a number one seed? The 50s? For crying out loud, it's been a very long time since they've been a top dog in the NFC. But part of me is like, how are the Chiefs going to come out? Like, if the Kansas City Chiefs come out and blow out the Texans, I think we're all going to come in Monday morning and be like, damn, nobody's beating them. Nobody, like, four matters, right? How do they look after a bye week? We know Andy Reid's record after a bye week. We know Mahomes' record in the divisional round. He's undefeated. He's throwing for 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions. But how do they look? Do they win in dominant fashion Saturday to kick off the divisional round? And if they do, I mean, gosh, we're going to watch history. It feels like we're on the way to watching history.
Were you tired of the Chicago Bulls in the 90s?
I was not.
Never.
Never.
I'll raise my hand and admit, I rooted for the Sonics. I rooted for the Jazz. I wanted someone to, not that I didn't like them, not that I didn't watch them, not that I didn't like watching, I wanted someone else to beat them.
No, I was Team Jordan all the way.
Always.
It was Team Jordan all the way. I was Bulls. I wanted more of it. I loved every one of those games. Yeah, I was a Bull. I was a Jordan fan. I wanted to see greatness.
How about when the Patriots were winning? Not once did you think it was cool that the New York Giants beat them?
No. When the Patriots lost and the Giants beat them in their undefeated season, I was legit sad. I wanted to see the Patriots catapult the 72 Dolphins. I wanted to see 19-0. I wanted Randy Moss to get his ring. I wanted Junior Seau to get his ring. I wanted Wes Welker to get his ring.
You rooted for the Yankees then? You didn't think that the Arizona Diamondbacks was a great story?
Yeah, I couldn't root for the Diamondbacks. They're in NL West. I couldn't root for them. I wanted Mariano to continue to make history. I wanted Jeter. I was a Jeter fan. I wanted Jeter to continue to make history.
Is there
greatness.
Any non-dynasty team you weren't rooting for then?
The Lakers. The hell was Fedonia the Lakers?
I'm pretty sure he's not rooting for the Chiefs either.
Not rooting for the Chiefs. Not rooting for the Lakers. Who else? What was another dynasty? The Red Sox could
Tiger
stand
Woods.
Up. Tiger, well, I love Tiger. You know,
everyone was rooting for Tiger Woods.
So, until the new character is Bandwagon Bonte. This is pretty straightforward.
No. He brought the brothers to the golf. No, I wasn't rooting against the Bulls.
That White Sox basket.
There was no way in hell I was going to be rooting for Salt Lake City, Utah, and the Utah Jazz. Are you this Team Jordan? The shoes, the jersey, the swagger?
What about the Supersonics? You didn't root for Gary Payton? He's Oakland. I did.
I liked the Sonics. They had no shot. I wanted Jordan to get his rings. I wanted Jordan to get his rings, but I wanted GP to do well.
I rooted for the Phoenix Suns with Barkley. I always liked Barkley, and I liked Dan the Man Marley and KJ. That team was a lot of fun.
I didn't root for them. I didn't root for Phoenix. I never was a Suns fan. I always respected them. But back in those early Western Conference days in the early 90s, I tended to lean David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon than Charles Barkley.
So you always liked the winner.
No, I don't always like the winner. You asked me who I root for. I wanted to see the Bulls win three-peat. Back-to-back three-peats? Two different three-peats in the same decade? Yeah, I was rooting for that. I was not rooting for... Gosh, it sounds so boring to root for the Utah Jazz back in those days. Oh, I was rooting
just
for
something
John Stockton
different.
And Carl.
Well, I got in now. I got a question just because, I mean, Spadoni and I, different. We were... You know, too young to really be too focused in. Like, were the Bulls really like that, like likable back in the 90s where everyone was falling
well,
in? Because I feel like
the
Patriots never had that likability factor. Yeah. The Chiefs, it feels like they don't have that likability factor. The Warriors, I don't know what their likability factor was outside the Bay Area. I don't think it was great. But, like, did the Bulls really have that, like, likability that made it easy to hop on that bandwagon?
As a kid, they had the VHS tapes Come Fly With Me and Michael Jordan's playground that we all got intoxicated
shoes.
With. And then you had the shoes, you had the swagger, you had the dunks, his airness, because he was a dunker, too. Like, that was the thing. His hang time, his athleticism was through the roof. And then you had Scottie Pippen, the ultimate wingman, and then Phil Jackson with his tactics. And then later on, they bring in Dennis Rodman, who had crossed over with the wrestling fans, with pop culture. And there was a lot of people who's rooting for Dennis Rodman. So they had a lot more likability than, say, the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick.
And you're forgetting, like, their intro was so iconic. So for young kids, like, when they turn the lights off and dun, 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 I'm sure you could find that the music. It's I get chills thinking about the Chicago Bulls intros back in the day on NBC Sunday mornings, those huge playoff games. But like I was rooting for the Orlando Magic to knock them off. Great example. You know what I mean? Like I was. I like Shaq and Penny.
Right.
You know, maybe I like the underdog. There are times when I like, you know, I like the dominant team, but this was iconic.
It was iconic.
This is literally, I get chills thinking about it.
Want to be like Mike. The Gatorade commercials.
Yes. Wanna be like
I was a Mike guy.
If I could be like
Mike was the first superstar I was basically introduced to as an NBA fan. Magic and Larry were, you know, obviously getting a little long in the tooth, which is why Snidey hates Jordan, because he's a Larry Bird guy. You know, Jordan took over the Eastern Conference. He basically took it over, defeating the Bad Boys Pistons. So I was a Jordan guy. I was.
Well, and to your point, Bonte, not to cut you off there, and Sam was bringing it up, like, even our age, like, we're not cognizant of it, But like, I go back to like childhood pictures, and I was wearing a Michael Jordan Space Jam shirt. Like, no, right. Space Jam when we were kids was a thing. So we didn't even know it. We were already Michael Jordan fans. Mm-hmm. So like, it touched everything. And to your point, like comparing it to the Patriots, Tom Brady was not loved. No. Tom Brady was the guy everyone hated because he was pretty and he was dating the models and he was doing this and he was doing that.
And you had the cheating stuff.
And he had the cheating stuff. Spygate. You had the Tuck rule, so people thought he didn't even earn it. Like, there was a lot of things. Deflategate later on. Like, they were the evil empire, but Michael Jordan, he had the smile, right? Yep. Yeah, he had the gambling stuff. Like, no one really even cared. Like, I don't know if they cared then. Now that we're looking at it back with the, you know, the documentary and stuff like that. It's actually kind of funny looking back through the doc because everyone was watching it because it was this phenomenon during the pandemic. Like, I could see now where people are like, Michael, maybe he did push Jerry Krause too hard. Maybe he was a little bit of a bully with that mentality. In the social, if it was a social media era, maybe he's looked at differently, right?
You got to understand, back then, like, the way we view shoes and everything now, it was Jordan's. That was it. It was literally Jordan's. He was also partnered with McDonald's, which I think we've kind of forgotten. He was synonymous with McDonald's as well, which is Americana, right? And then synonymous with Gatorade, which, like, every kid who wanted to be an athlete, it wasn't water, it was Gatorade. Like, Gatorade. There was this programming in your head. So he was larger than life. Larger than life.
Nah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. So, did not root for the Lakers. And, you know, when you see history here with the Kansas City Chiefs, when they take the field tomorrow, and Chris Jones, I remember talking to him after they beat the Niners. And I was like, undefeated season? He goes, I don't want to go undefeated. I want to get a loss out the way. We need to get a loss out the way. They got that loss in Buffalo and, of course, the last week of the season of Denver when they didn't play anybody. But they were. He was like, we just don't want that pressure put into the playoffs.
Let me ask you guys this. Now I want to ask the question. You've got teams like Detroit that have never been there, right? I guess, you know, in their own way, they're not, but they're like the football version of the Cubs, right? They've just been awful bad for so long, right? I wouldn't say Red Sox because they're not cursed enough. Like, that's the way I view it. Do you think it's better in sports when a team like the Cubs breaks this long drought, all right, or like the Cleveland Cavaliers, or do you think it's better to be dynastic and have the three in a row like the Kansas City Chiefs? What is more appealing for the average sports fan? As you're rooting this weekend, if you have no ties to any of these teams, who would you rather? Would you rather see the Bills win? Would you rather see the Lions win, like one of those teams that has never won it? Or do you want to see the more excellence and the three-peat, which we've never seen in the NFL?
Well, from a league standpoint, I think they want to see the Chiefs win because it's always fun having that one dominant team. I think the NBA would really love to have that. When the Lakers are on top or the Bulls are on top or the Spurs are on top, the league loves that because now you got a villain and you got everybody trying to chase them out top. The Warriors being dominant was great for the league. Dynasties are great for the league.
But breaking stuff is also like having the Cubs and the Red Sox be good. And now the Red Sox won, four, you know, so that's different. But, like, that was huge for baseball.
Well, at this point, I think people will love to see Mahomes lose and Travis Kelce because we're getting Kelce fatigue. We're getting Chief fatigue. And people will love to see them upset, especially by a Buffalo team that has never won or Detroit's never won. But here's my thought process as a fan. When the Niners aren't in it and I have no rooting interest, I tend to lean towards players. What player do I want to win a ring? Who deserves a ring, right? What player deserves a ring in this league? Well, I look at Lamar and I'm like, or no, I look at King Henry and I say, boy, I would love Derrick Henry to end his career with a Super Bowl ring. Like, he deserves a Super Bowl ring. So I'm pulling for Derrick Henry. Josh Allen, would I want him to win a Super Bowl ring? Hell, Raymond Davis is playing for Buffalo. I would love to see him win a Super Bowl ring just for his family who's here from San Francisco, right? I tend to root for the player, but in terms of that team aspect, I think America wants to see the Chiefs get knocked off in the NFL, and they want to see somebody new. They would love to see a Detroit, a Buffalo, not so much Philadelphia. I don't think they care much about the Rams, but those teams that have yet to win the Super Bowl, especially Buffalo and Detroit. I think America's all over those two teams right now.
I do think there are a larger segment of people when the game gets turned on and it's the Los Angeles Rams, they're going to say, God, L.A.'s been through so much. I'm going to pull for L.A. just because of the tragedy. I mean, the horrific tragedy. I do think people will. And normally, you know, there's like anti-L.A., you know, ness across the country. I'm rooting for fan bases. Like, I think that Bills fan base, got a buddy Rory, diehard Buffalo Bill fan, been a Buffalo Bill fan forever. And it's a miserable experience. And I think about, like, what that would do for the Bills fans that have been suffering for so long. I root for them. Like, as much as I love Lamar and Derrick Henry, and I hear you on those players, I hear you. Ravens fans have won. Like, they've had it. I want to see them Bills fans. I want to see Lions fans get their comeuppance. And I'm rooting for Jared Goff in the sense of somebody who's local, right? So I want to see new people win. That's just me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we do this. That guy can never win. He's a loser.
That's why I want Lamar and Derrick Henry to win. I want Lamar to get his due. Because Lamar hasn't gotten his due. The guy's throwing from the pocket so well. Him and Josh Allen playing at the top of their games. But Lamar, we just blink and we're taking it for granted what Lamar Jackson did this season. Lamar Jackson this season, all right, we look at his playoff numbers. All right, let me look at his regular season numbers. The guy threw for 41 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions and over 4,000 yards while rushing for another 915 and another 4. Yeah. Like, that's absurd. He had 45 total touchdowns and only 4 interceptions.
It's like playing Madden on easy mode, watching him right. play.
But he's so good. He's in such a tough spot. He's so good. Now it's like a guy in golf. The only thing that matters is the majors. You get so good. Yep. The only thing that matters is his playoff record, which is he's 3-4 with 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Like, and that sucks.
And that's why I want to see him.
Sucks.
I want to see him debunk that playoff narrative of falling short, because he's gone through the process. But him or Josh Allen are going home. And one of those two guys are going to be disappointed this Sunday in Buffalo. Especially if Zay Flowers doesn't play. I'm a little worried about Zay Flowers not playing in this football game because I think they need that explosiveness, especially if it's going to be snowing or whatnot. Zay Flowers is a very important member, very important in that passing game for the Baltimore Ravens. But one of those guys are going to lose, and it sucks. And one of them is going to get this narrative that they can't win the big one, which is totally not fair. But just looking at his season, damn, 45 unreal. Touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Unreal.
Whoa. So I would like to see guys who haven't won a Super Bowl win their first Super Bowl. Lamar, Derrick Henry, Josh Allen. I don't mind Josh Allen winning. I want my boy James Cook to win a Super Bowl ring. I want to see Sean McDermott become a Super Bowl winning head coach. I think he doesn't get the respect that a lot of other coaches get in this league. Like McDermott, compare what he's done in Buffalo to what Shanahan's done with the 49ers. Now, Shanahan's going to get a lot of love, right, because of the Super Bowl appearances. But Buffalo has remained relevant year in and year out, year in and year out. And the Cossett, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, a defensive-minded head coach.
No doubt. But he's done some odd, peculiar things with clock management late in games that have cost them. You know, like, and his quarterback, he's the reverse of Lamar in the playoffs. He's 6-5, but he's thrown, has over 29 total touchdowns and only 8 turnovers. Like, he's profound in the playoffs. His teams just keep losing.
888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go ahead and hit shameless shout-outs here on the Morning Rust.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm a shameless, horrible human being.
Your chance to shamelessly shout out whoever or whatever you want.
He was not a great person.
Get their names. Mm-hmm. They would know who I am if they're listening.
It's time for shameless shout-outs on the Morning Roast.
What's up, Joe, bro? Hey!
You know you make me wanna.
All right, I got a couple. First, my mother-in-law, today is her final day of working 45 years.
Wow.
45 years working for Kaiser.
Wow.
45 years.
Congratulations.
She's been in the nursing industry. Love you, Mary. Congratulations. And another person who happens to be retiring today, big party for him, Officer Danny Manning. Who spent over 30 years as a San Francisco police officer, one of the greatest police officers this city's ever seen, great human being, really cares about this city. You've met Danny, big sports fan, listens to us every single day. Officer Manning, and I'm sure, I always forget if he's a sergeant, a lieutenant, a captain, I always forget what his exact designation is right now. I mean, this guy has given it all to this community, and love you, Danny, love you, Mary. Congratulations, and thank you guys both for serving our community for so long. Enjoy retirement, even though both of you, I know, are going to do something after this.
Awesome. That's awesome. 650, shout out to you guys getting back-to-back calls this week from Mississippi, Maryland, then Georgia, Tennessee. The roast is nationwide. Salute to the roast. Salute to you, 650. Salute to you for shouting us out there. Yeah, we have gotten a lot of calls all over the place here. My final thought, my shameless shout-out for today. Shout out Shout out to all the teachers. Dealing with these kids coming back to school over the last 2 weeks, these toddlers and kids, it's all good the first day. And then the second day when they don't want to get up and get dressed and get ready for school, then they go to school in a funky attitude, and the teachers have to somehow, some way, navigate their day through that and still get these kids on board and get them focused to get through a day of school. Shout out to you teachers, especially the ones in the Montessori schools, the TK schools, the preschools. You guys deserve a raise. No doubt about it. Now, it's not coming from my pockets. Hopefully, it comes from the state of California. But you get what I'm saying.
Shout out Cheese and Boogie Ramirez. Father-son bowling league. Little Boogie, third grader, bowled his high score of a 167.
Wow, it's better than I could do.
I don't think I can do a 167.
I was going to say, what's the highest score you guys have ever got bowling before? I've done 185. I've done 185 once.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever broken 200.
I always go back and forth between bowling straight and the big, you know, curveball, as you say.
Palming it.
I'm not a consistent bowler. Not good at all. I don't think I've cracked 150. Have I? I don't know. Maybe next time that's the goal. Crack 150. Go ahead, love. Get in.
I have had a couple of turkeys.
If you guys ever want a good bowling partner, our producer who used to work here, Craig Valentino, or Craig Mack, as we would call
Craig
him.
Mack.
I used to do shows to him, and like, it's like during pandemic era when like bowling was on TV. This dude could break down, I guess I'm going to shout out you, Craig. His dude's ability to break down bowling was incredible.
Pete Weber?
Hmm?
Pete
the
Weber?
Only bowler I could think of.
I don't know any bowlers, but...
I could do it. I can.
Yeah, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I am.
But, who do you think you are? I am.
My actual shout out, though, is going to be to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Oh. Episode 115 is now available. I should have teased this a couple days ago when I released it. But Shasky and I, we talked about the Justin Verlander presser and what's going to happen with Bryce Eldridge, too. That's the next big question, I feel like, for the Giants. So we had a very good conversation about what the Giants will do with Bryce Eldridge. One of us is a little bit more optimistic about him being on the opening day roster than the other. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, shout out Ceremony Ford and Matt Schoen and all the great people over there. He told us, you know, every single day, there's a crew of people in the back that listen to the Morning Roast, and they love you guys. And so, shout out everybody at Ceremony Ford.
It's Matt's Troublemakers is what
I call
them.
Is that what he
calls them? No, I call them that. Matt's Troublemakers. I've made the rounds with them multiple times. It's about 9 of them in that room, and they are diehard roasters, diehard Warrior fans. They're always asking questions. Whenever I go to Ceremony Ford, I go check in on them. They're awesome. They are awesome. Yeah. The whole crew. They told me to call them Matt's Angels. I call them Matt's Troublemakers, because whenever I walk in there, they're never doing anything but laughing and eating or whatnot. But yeah, shout out to Ceremony Ford as well. Shout out to the Stretch Lab. Got me feeling good this week, baby. Feel mobile and flexible. Let's get to the calls. Uncle Gene in Oakland, what's up?
Hey, fellas. I want to shout out a fellow named Sam Moore. He's the Sam of Sam and Dave. And for anyone that still doesn't know what I'm talking about, think Soul Man. He's the original. That's 1967, one of the greatest R&B songs of all time.
Love it.
So Sam just passed away a little less than a week ago at the age of 89. His career spanned just shy of 70 years.
Wow.
And I had the pleasure of seeing Sam and Dave perform back in 1968 in a little club called the Sugar Shack in Boston, okay? And $5 cover charge, I got in there, got to watch them, and another up-and-coming star by the name of, what was his name, Stevland Hardway Morris, better known as Stevie Wonder. So, anyways,
hey,
he was Uncle the original Gene. The original
Uncle
soul
Gene,
man.
What's I that? Thought you were going to call in and shout out Sam Darnold.
I said wait till the playoffs, didn't I? Come on.
Uncle Gene, you were so passionate at the Doobie Awards about Sam Darnold.
There's context for this.
Shout out
my son Anthony. This is from the 650 and the St. Finbar 7th grade D1 basketball team. So far 5-0 on the season, and the SF Flame champions two times over.
Wow.
Shout out St. Finbar 7th grade.
Love that. Shout out to my brother Matt for celebrating 7 years of being...
Oh, that's awesome.
7 months of being sober 3 days ago. Seven-month anniversary of being sober. Shout out to Matt for that. That's
congratulations,
awesome.
Congratulations, man.
Let's go to RJ in Fairfield. RJ, I watched the game last night. You guys are playing well. You guys are playing very good basketball right now. I admit that.
Thank you, Bonte. But light the beam, baby. Hey, shout out to the Kings for making their free throws in that fourth quarter, and DeMar DeRozan for coming up clutch in the fourth, man. So, Bonte, we hanging another banner.
All right, that's enough. You know, shout out St. Stephen's fourth grade basketball from the 415. Shout out Bob Uecker from the 916.
We're gonna do that.
Wait, another banner? What was the first one?
Well, the first one was January 5th, we beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. They're going to hang that banner at G1C.
5-1-0.
They play next Wednesday as well. Kings Warriors in Sacramento. Go to One Center.
Shout out, 5-1-0, to my girl for delivering a healthy baby boy. I hope I'm pronouncing this
Luann.
Right. Is it? What is it?
Luann.
Luann and me love you. Loving fatherhood.
Fatherhood is fun, man. Fatherhood is why I didn't get out the house to get to the holiday party yesterday. Baby Chaz and I were just playing games, Skilly Billy, tracing, drawing. It's like, man, this is fun. No technology, getting her off the iPad. I love the process.
I got a lot of shout-outs this week. Another
love
one.
Love the process.
My cousin Mike. Love you, buddy. Happy birthday. I know. Once you get over 40, nobody cares at all about anything that you have to do. But you're a great dad, and I love you, buddy.
Oh,
and then shout out to my wife, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, shout out to Michelle. Yeah. What are you doing for?
Shout out Michelle.
You taking her Miller Lux?
We have a lovely day planned. My brother has his son's birthday, Teddy, in the morning, and then we're going to go do that. And then afterwards, we were going to go to dinner, but she wants the little guy to come with us, and so we can all go together. So we're probably going to amend what we were going to do. I had a 5:15 reservation as the sun was coming down somewhere nice, which I will leave undisclosed.
Miller Lux?
No.
Did you do a Miller Lux?
No, we're going to somewhere on the coast. That being said, we're going to probably amend those decisions. So shout out to me changing my reservation.
Wow. 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 Happy birthday, Michelle. Happy birthday. You deserve it, man. You deserve it. Happy 25th birthday. 650 wants to say shout out to Matt Nahegan.
Oh.
Shout out Matt Nahegan. For what? What did he do? What did Matt Nahegan do? Shout out to Michael McCracken on his 59th birthday today. Shout out to him.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Shout out to my daughters Mia and Kaya for both making a top soccer team.
Oh, nice.
It's San Ramon. Mia and Kaya, good luck this season and when it comes to soccer. Shout out to my niece, who's the cheerleading captain for middle school. Shout out to Nina. You're doing a great job out there.
Very cool.
What else? What else do we have here? Shout out to Steph Curry for shutting up the Twidiots for a day. And all the people backpedaling and scrambling saying, oh, no, was Steph Curry talking to me? He may be talking to us, but Steph Curry, shout out to you for just killing noise saying that I'm not okay with playing on an average team.
You're insane
if you think I think that or if I want to play like that. Put down the phone, put the trade machine, and let us do this. Shut the hell up, would you? Shout out to Steph for that message.
It always takes a tragedy for us to think like this, and it sucks because we should have more normal appreciation in general. Shout out to everybody who has the type of profession that we take for granted and don't realize how important it is until there's a natural disaster
or something
that happens. Exactly. Something that happens in life where we need you, whether you're a first responder, a firefighter, a police officer, someone in the military, someone in the branch of government. When pressed into action, not only do you go above and beyond, but it's the selflessness where your own family kind of takes a backseat as you dive in to help others. And shout out to everybody that's down in LA with the whole wildfire thing. I saw a map of what San Francisco would look like if geographically we, you know, put the area that was burned over the map of San Francisco, and it was like 2/3 of the city. Yeah, and so it's really bad.
Well,
LA
firefighters,
horrible.
The Latino firefighters came in from Mexico. Yeah, people all over the country coming in to help them out. Shout out to everybody helping out with the LA fires, all the professional sports teams, the leagues coming together. How about Chef Tyler from Miller and Lux? Chef Tyler took his crew down there to LA to serve meals to the first responders. They helped them out with food.
Yeah.
So shout out to Chef Tyler for that. That was such a nice gesture. I saw Jim Harbaugh going to the home base of the firefighters yesterday trying to contain the fire. So shout out to everybody down there, man. And a special shout out and our condolences go out to everybody who's lost their homes down in Southern California, who's had to evacuate, restart their life, man. It's not easy to start the new year like that. I couldn't imagine what they're going through, but our prayers and our hearts go out to you, and we'll do everything we can to help support you and uplift you. So whatever you can do to donate down there to the Southern California cause, there's plenty of websites out there. The Valkyries are doing a meet and greet up with Bay FC to take donations in various locations in the Bay Area. So that'll be happening in the next week with the Bay FC and the Go to Save Valkyries. So that is it for Seamus. Shout outs now on to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I miss JK. We all miss JK. We're still awaiting the return of Jonathan Kuminga with the right ankle sprain. And Kuminga was able to ditch his walking boot earlier this week. No return date is set, but it appears that JK is progressing faster than expected in his return to the court. Injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll get some more Warriors, more divisional round playoffs, plus some Giant stuff. Festus Azili at 8:30, Dan Ruzanowski at 9:20 to talk some Sharks hockey. Sure. That's right. Macklin Celebrini and the Sharkies. We'll do that at 9:20 here on The Rust.
Jonathan Kuminga